in Tucson. I'm your host, Ed Ackerley. And, you know, this is a unique format where we talk about business success stories. Speaking of success stories, hello, Sixto Molina.
Good morning,
Dr. Ed. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thanks for jumping in and being a co-host with me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Great. Well, with us this morning is our first guest, Kevin Templin. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you for having me.
So, Kevin, we're going to talk about this wonderful establishment that you have, Casa del Rio Restaurant. Let's just tell people where it's located, then we'll talk a little bit about you. So,
first of all, we're at the southeast corner of 22nd and Pantano Road, 1060 South Pantano, right across the street from the post office. That's how most people find us.
Right, and that's been there for a long time. So before we get talking about Casa del Rio, let's talk a little bit about Kevin Templin. And let's talk, we were talking the other day, and what an interesting background you have to become an entrepreneur and owner of a restaurant. But you have another whole life that you do other things too, right?
Yes, sir. I suppose one thing led to the next. I was in the restaurant industry long before I was a technologist. That led me to become a technologist. There was a lot of technology, evolving technology, modernizing different things. I learned a lot to be able to become self-sufficient and support myself as things became digital.
Right.
But I started in the restaurant industry when everything was very manual, I suppose, and you know, back in the day when we were even using calculators at the register, and our point of sales crash kit was a piece of paper and a pencil, and nowadays everything's computerized and digitized, as I said, and so became an expert in the regards of technology and supporting point of sale systems, digital menu boards, installing networked printers and structured cabling, things like that. It behooved me to do so.
Yeah, and that is funny because I remember going to restaurants. And they would write it down on a piece of paper, and then you'd go up to the cash register, and they would use a calculator, and you'd pay cash.
Yeah.
And all of that's pretty much gone now. I mean, people still pay with cash, but not very often, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I remember back in the day, not to say I've ever been to Hooters, but remember they used to write down on that piece of paper, and they'd throw it across that line across the restaurant to get the orders to the kitchen. I don't know if you recall that, but I think about that sometimes and how manual it was. And I used to be a general manager and operator for Burger King's. When I first started for them, we had a microphone at the front counter, and you'd have 30 people at the line, and you'd shout your orders to the kitchen, and they were just supposed to write it down on a piece of paper. It was just so inefficient. It was terrible. And when I worked for them is when we everything changed. Everything went to printers, everything went to screens and computers. It was pretty cool to be a part of that transition, and I learned a whole lot, and I was really fortunate to be there at that time and place.
Is that that efficiency or that going to the digital footprint now, is that pretty much all restaurants, especially new restaurants when they're built, they build it out in the beginning, that's what they do. But I bet there's a lot of conversions happening in restaurants that are traditional and have been around forever that are making that slow plod towards technology and so forth. And if you've been doing something the same way for 50 years, it's a little hard to change and get into the digital world, I would imagine. So you've probably consulted with some of those folks on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that led to a lot of work when things began to change that way. Every time there's a paradigm shift in technology, it creates additional work for folks and more opportunities in that regard. So I also took advantage of that on the technology side of things.
And you've been over at Casa del Rio. Tell us how you got started there first and how you got involved with Casa del Rio and how you became involved.
So first, I knew the owner, Doug Jackson. He's the gentleman, he built the entire shopping center over there in 1979, and he's owned the restaurant since then. I became familiar with him prior to working for the restaurant, and him and I talked about it a little bit. He asked if I was ever going to be interested in working in restaurants again, and one thing led to the next, and I started working there before him and I had agreed upon anything. And I took over in the kitchen. I became more or less like the general manager of the entire restaurant, but with a major focus on the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I learned all the recipes. I could make them all from scratch. I love to cook. It's one of my favorite things to do. My favorite food in the world is Mexican food, so it suits me well. I speak some Spanish, so I get along really well with all the folks there. And it was just such a great thing. But I spent about 2 years solely in the kitchen and just really took it over because that's the livelihood of the restaurant. That business is nothing without that kitchen.
Yeah. We were talking before we sat down here, Sixto and I and Chris were talking about the margaritas, which are at least city famous, if not world famous for the, so you had to probably have to learn the whole bar system as well. And probably have become an expert at making a drink too, huh?
Absolutely. I'm glad that you brought that up, because we even have a, you know, an improved bar system inside of the restaurant now. Some of our popular margaritas are like a Southwest staple, like the prickly pear margarita. Right. You know, folks love those things. They look good, they taste good, and it's just a good margarita. But we have an improved bar program, just serving better alcohols and some really nice cocktails. If you're looking for a crazy good cocktail, come down. We got some speakeasy style cocktails that'll knock your socks off.
Right. We were talking the other day about how going to Casa del Rio, but late at night, and you know, the East Siders I know that go there after, say, a high school football game, or even after graduation, or after a event at the high school or something, a lot of the parents and so forth would always kind of wander over to Casa del Rio, because that's one of the interesting things. So there's not a lot of restaurants on the East Side. If you go east of Kolb, I mean, there are some, but not as many. But Casa del Rio has been there a long time, and so it's kind of been one of those flagship restaurants that people, as a go-to place for people, since there aren't a lot of restaurants on the East Side. You go over to Restaurant Row and other places, there's certainly a lot, but I would say east of Kolb, there's not that many restaurants, having lived there all my life. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, many have come and gone, so we're fortunate that folks choose us after their graduations and said events to come over and dine with us. That's what keeps us going around.
Right.
We wouldn't be there if it wasn't for folks like you guys. I mean, you've been patrons for quite a while.
A long time, yeah.
You know, and everybody else who has a story about, you know, how often they've come to Casa del Rio and how long they've been coming there. We wouldn't be having this conversation today if it weren't for that.
Right. My folks, Gene and Gloria Ackerley, they were regulars at Casa del Rio for, goodness, probably 20 years. They would go every couple of weeks, they'd go over and sit there and have a nice meal, and really enjoyed the atmosphere. My dad really enjoyed the salsa. He's a salsa guy, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, Sixto. When we come back, we'll talk about what Casa del Rio is now and what your goals are for the future. We'll talk a little bit about catering and some other things that you do there. So you're listening to Jump in Tucson. We're talking to Kevin Templin, the owner of Casa del Rio Restaurant. With me is Sixto Molina, who is our co-host today. We'll be back in just a minute with a discussion of Casa del Rio on Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. With me this morning is Sixto Molina. Good morning again, Sixto.
Good morning.
And we're talking with Kevin Templin. He is the owner of Casa del Rio Restaurant at Pantano and 22nd Street, across from the post office. Is a good locator there. Sixto, you were going to ask a question about la salsa, huh?
Yeah, as anybody that knows me knows that I like to eat hot salsa. And I have two requirements. It's got to be hot, not fire, super fire hot, just hot enough for a tang. And it's got to be tasty. So can you tell us, Kevin, about the salsa you serve?
Yes, sir. I think ours is more focused on the tasty side. It definitely has a little bit of a kick to it, but it's engineered particularly not to be spicy. We have a lot of folks who are spice sensitive.
You're looking at one right now. It touches my lips and I start sweating. So,
when we put a touch too much chili, you know, we get to hear about it a lot. But you come on in, we have a hotter salsa in the back, or I take some chitlipin and I crush it up and throw it in the salsa, and it takes a real flavorful salsa and just turns it up a few scotches, you know, as far as spice level goes.
Awesome, awesome.
And you were talking about the consistency. That's one of your tests, right?
Yeah. When you dip the chip in the salsa, it shouldn't be too watery that all the salsa falls off the chip. It should be thick enough to stay on the chip.
Right, but also not too thick where it breaks the chip, right?
Exactly.
You want it right in the middle of there.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right. We often hit the mark on it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, tell us about Casa del Rio, obviously famous for Mexican food. So tell us a little bit about the style of Mexican food that you serve, and a little bit about the menu and what you've been developing as you have taken over from Doug, and what direction you're heading.
Yeah, so, you know, not a whole lot has changed in regards to the food, and we don't have many plans to change the food itself. If anything, we'd add to the menu, so diversify a little bit, add on some more spicy options, a little bit more south of the border options. Right now, we're real popular for chimichangas. We sell chimichangas like there's no tomorrow. Our fajitas are incredible. Those are really good. Some of the best in town. I go around 8 fajitas every Mexican restaurant I go to, but it's just the way we butcher our meat. We trim out our chicken really well. We get a real good cut of shoulder filet for our steak, and then we take that and we trim out all the nerve and the gristle. It melts in your mouth. You're not going to find gristle that you have to pull out. All the food's really good. The quality's always been really good. Douglas Jackson was an incredible businessman. He wasn't a cook per se, but he always had incredible cooks working for him. He was more just an incredible businessman. But, you know, with that said, there's not much to change. It's all really good. We're going to focus on just continuing to execute at a high level and do things the right way.
And how many people can the restaurant seat at one time? You have that extra dining room. So how many people can you fit in there?
It's just over 200. I think that when the fire marshal was there, they rated it like 212 people.
Right.
But we do have that large room in the back, like you said, that accommodates up to 50 people. That's often leveraged for graduation parties, baby showers, memorial services, right. a lot of stuff like that. We're fortunate to have that space. It was a travel agency up until 1999.
Right.
And then the guy, you know, he was retiring. So it was paramount that we took that space.
Well, you know, that is an interesting thing to note, especially on the east side. There are not a lot of places where you can take 50 people and have a meal and have a gathering place for a memorial or for a party or some kind. So it's nice to know that that's on the east side, and that you just call ahead and reserve that space, basically.
Yeah, you can reserve the space, and like I said, it could almost be your own private party room. If you have 25 or more people, it's essentially going to be your room.
Right.
If you're showing up with like four or five people, you know, we might still have to seat some of that space.
Right.
Lately we've been doing some live music on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Mm-hmm. I haven't brought that up yet. That's one of the few changes that we have made. They haven't done live music in about 30 years. They did it a long time ago. But we've been featuring some awesome folks here in town, and that's a perpetual thing. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday every week.
And where do they perform? Are they in the restaurant or are they over in the cantina?
A little bit of both. So every once in a while, we get a bunch of reservations. So some of these bands that are here in town, can I name any of them?
Sure.
Like Blue Dream Duo is one of them. And it's a local musician, Chelsea Hicks. She sings at the Gaslight Theater. She's their Marilyn Monroe impersonator. And then Joshua Rhodes, his guitarist, plays with her. They're just an incredible group. When they come around, they get a lot of reservations. And so we have to put them in a larger space. Our cantina is awesome, but it's really long and skinny and
right.
just not well formatted for, a big live venue. But when they're smaller and more intimate, it works really well for them.
Do you put them up in the front there, or where do they
That
perform?
First side room, like when you come in the main entrance and you look to your left,
that's where
we cleared out a little bit of space. There's some booth space where we cleared out where they can fill in. And it's been well received so far. People really enjoy it. The music's been really good. It has to be good music. Otherwise, nobody's going to want to eat and right. listen to it,
So it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. What time? Like 7 to 8?
Often 7 to 9 or 6 to 8. And sometimes it's contingent on, when the band is available, but those are often the two times. And we've been sending out like some ads and stuff, from within the restaurant, letting people know when.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Another big component of what you do is takeout. And so you have just south of that larger room where the travel agency was, you built a little takeout area there. Obviously, it was a boom during COVID, but when I'd pull up there, there's always somebody in there waiting and to pick up stuff and to go. So that's a pretty big part of your business, right?
Yeah, carryout traffic, it did increase during COVID. It went up like 300% every restaurant, not just at the Casa del Rio, and it hasn't really seemed to adjust back to normal. A lot of folks are not coming into the restaurant anymore. They're getting carry out, and that's just how they feel comfortable. They're eating at their house. They're showing up and minimal contact, getting their food and going home.
Right.
And we still have plenty of dine-in customers, but that carry out's always going to be a strong number.
And Sixto, that's a pretty appropriate name. It's Casa del Rio, which is a house by the river, right? And so the Pantano Wash right there, what us East Siders call it the Pantano Wash. The Pantano Wash is right there, which is a river, especially during the monsoons. It goes bank to bank sometimes. So Casa del Rio. So that's where the Del Rio comes from, right?
I'd like to ask one thing for purposes of clarification. I believe on your menu you have meat that's al pastor and adobada. Can you...
What's the difference?
Tell us what the difference.
Al pastor, that's a little bit of
adobada is more cooked with like achiote spices, you know, like a chote pepper, and al pastor is more like a pineapple, more of like a fresh cook. So al pastor, you would cook with some pineapple.
Is it a little sweeter? Is it al pastor?
Yeah, a little bit sweeter. Adobo is going to be a little bit spicier, a little bit more robust, a little heat to it.
Yeah.
Al pastor, like a traditional way of cooking it, you put it up on a spindle, it's sliced pork, and you get some nice pineapple on top of it. And as it cooks, the pineapple melts onto
drips down
onto pork. Yeah. And you cut it right off the spindle. It's real good, but we don't currently have al pastor and adobado
yet, but as you said, you might be changing the menu and
we're working on adding some of those more authentic things. We did it for a little while. You might have seen it. We did it for a little while for some Taco Tuesdays, trying out some stuff, and we had this incredible chef named Rafael who was working with us and was making some incredible meats and stuff.
Awesome. The chef is everything.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Our chef's been there for 28 years, too. And that's one of our, strengths to that restaurant. It's been the same lady in there making a lot of the different food. She takes, 75% of the food she makes herself.
Wow.
And that keeps it very consistent, which is incredibly important to the business.
We're talking to Kevin Templin, the owner of Casa del Rio. Tell us a little bit about catering. You do a little bit of that, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a fair amount of catering. We have some neat catering packages. We do taco bars where we show up, with taco shells, all the meat and the accoutrement that would go into those tacos, rice, beans, chips, salsa, right? You can't show up without that type of stuff. And we do parties anywhere from, 20-person baby showers all the way up to 200-person, 250-person events. We just recently did a big event at the Diocese of Tucson downtown.
Right.
It was huge. We fed 300 folks, and it took an incredible amount of food, and they were some hungry folks, But fajitas, we do it all to go, and it's a great deal.
And you go and set it up and have it all ready for them, and do you serve, or do they serve themselves, depending on what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. It really just depends on what they want. There are some folks, they want totally hands-off, like for weddings, they don't want to be working while they're having a ceremony. So we'll serve for those. There's a cost associated with it. Some folks just opt to come and pick up tons of the catering food. So it just really depends on it. We're very flexible.
So I have an interesting question to ask you. Who was your most famous diner since Doug opened the place? Who is the most famous person that's come there? Besides Sixto Molina.
And besides Ed Ackerley and Bill Ackerley. I would have to say Gary Shandling. Gary Shandling was a frequent visitor of the restaurant.
Yes,
His mother was good friends with Doug Jackson. And she used to come in and talk, just random stuff, business. She owned a little pet store on the east side of Tucson.
She did.
And, I believe his dad owned a print shop or a lithography shop or something like that. And from what I understand, I never knew Gary myself. Doug got to know him, and I've just heard some stories. And he didn't want any part of the family businesses. He didn't like that stuff. He was more of an artsy guy. He was funny, telling jokes. And he came to the restaurant a few times. And when people caught word that he was there, it would create a little bit of excitement.
Yeah, he filled in on The Tonight Show many, many times and was a regular on The Tonight Show for years. And
He was a writer for Carson, and he was one of the few, I think Carson, he was notorious for never missing work. And one time he had gotten real sick and he missed work, and the only person I from what I hear, this is the story I got, is the only person he'd let fill in was Gary Shandling.
That's amazing. Well, how do people get a hold of you? Where do they go on the web, and how do they find out about Casa del Rio?
So cdrtucson.com, CasaDelRioTucson.com is what that stands for. And you can get our website, 520-296-2309 is our phone number. And find us online, give us a call, make some reservations, come out and check us out.
Yeah, we highly recommend you make those reservations or just show up. And there's some wonderful margaritas that are waiting for you on the weekend, some good music Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, delicious food, and a great atmosphere. We were talking about the client base on the east side there. It's a pretty amazing client base that are pretty loyal. Matter of fact, we have a neighbor that is there frequently, a couple times a week he goes, just because he's single, and it's good food and a lot of community and camaraderie that happens there. And you go into the restaurant part, you see the same people, every couple of weeks they come back in. So you have a pretty loyal following, don't you?
Sure. Yeah, I'm real fortunate to say we got a great loyal following, pardon me. And a lot of that has to do with the service staff, though. We have an incredible team. They take really good care of the guests.
Great. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Kevin Templin from Casa del Rio. You are a success story. Been around since 1979, and it's great that you've taken over and are running the place. And we'll encourage everyone to go and visit Casa del Rio at 22nd and Pantano.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Good morning and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host. With me this morning is Sixto Molina, my co-host this morning. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Ed.
Sixto, you were in the law enforcement business for many years, about 40 years. You did Tucson Police Department, then you did were the police chief at South Tucson, and then ended up as well a little bit of security work at the Sunnyside School District as director of security there. We got somebody on the line with us that's in this line of work. Welcome, Sheriff Mark Lamb. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on. And Sixto, thank you for your service. It's an honor to be on with you as well.
Great. We wanted to talk to you a little bit before we talk about a special event coming up for you. Since Monday is Memorial Day and service to our country is an important part of our democracy, and you're running for U.S. Senate to represent the great state of Arizona, I just, if you would just reflect a little bit on Memorial Day and why, as a country, we need to pause every once in a while and remember the service of the people that that have fought for our freedom.
That's exactly right. That is the purpose of Memorial Day. You know, oftentimes I hear the term Happy Memorial Day. No, this is a day we remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for this country. You know, when I go out and speak all over the state, I oftentimes share stories of the founding fathers and the sacrifice that they made to give us the freedoms that we have. And I think oftentimes we get up in the morning and we go out, we do our things on a normal day, and we don't take the time to really remember why we have those freedoms. And those freedoms we have because men and women were willing to sacrifice for it. And this is the weekend, this is the day, the Monday, Memorial Day, that we will get our chance to pay the due respect that they deserve for the sacrifice they made so that we can get up every morning and be free.
You are in charge of the Pinal County Sheriff's Department, and you have obviously many of your folks that work for you have had some experience with law enforcement, but also with military experience as well. So you've probably over the years encountered quite a few folks that have given service to our country.
Absolutely. You know, we recognize them on Veterans Day, and we also recognize all the other veterans, you know, the ones who've lost their lives in service. You know, we recognize their families and we remember them, and we thank our veterans for the ones that have done it. And, you know, we thank our men and women that put on the badge every day. Many of them don't serve in the military, but we lose police officers out in this country all the time. And for me, it's a time to reflect on that as well, not just our military guys, but me personally. I take a time to reflect on the men and women that put on this badge every day and protect our communities here on the home front. And it's a great opportunity to remember all those people.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mark, because there are many officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty doing what they're supposed to do, which is protecting our citizens. And very often they're not exactly forgotten, but we don't think about that. And thank you for bringing it up.
Well, what's it like being a sheriff of a major county in Arizona and then throwing your sheriff hat or your cowboy hat into the ring for being a U.S. Senate candidate? I bet it's been an interesting experience for you.
It is, and it's hard because I love my job. I love being sheriff. You know, other than my wife of 30 years and my five kids, the highlight of my life has been serving as the sheriff of Pinal County, and I've loved every bit of it. I think it you know, it's one of the most important positions in government. And so to step away from that at the end of the year and hopefully move to the Senate position, it was a big decision, but this country needs proven conservative leaders and fighters that have done the job, that understand what it is to fight against the cartels on the border, that have real experience doing it, that understand the intricacies, the complexities, what federal law and state law. We need people that have run large agencies. I have a budget of over $60 million. We balance that budget. We stay within that budget. But then the rule of law, you know, crime's on the rise in this country. And in Pinal County, we have successfully reduced our crime index. We're the safest large county in the state of Arizona. And it's because I love what I do. We need that same type of experience in Washington, D.C. now. We're hiring somebody for one of the most important jobs in our state and certainly in our country. We got to make sure that we're putting the person in there that has the best experience. You know, if we were hiring somebody for a business, we would look for the guy that has the most experience. And I absolutely believe that's me. And that's why I ran, because It's not in my nature to stand on the corner and watch the building burn to the ground. And as the chief knows, it's not in our nature to stand there and wait for somebody else to show up to do it either. If somebody has the ability to do it, they should do something about it, and that's why I'm in this race.
You know, Mark, I ran for mayor twice of the city of Tucson, and Sixto was my campaign chair, and we have that exact same perspective that the reason I ran for mayor was because, like you say, it was hard for me to stand on the sidewalk and watch the town burn down around me. And so that's the name Jump in Tucson was actually my first slogan for the first time that I ran, was to jump in and make a difference. And I appreciate that perspective that you have, and it's really important that we have leaders that that have that vision to help us you know, maybe put our state back on track in a couple of areas, which is really, and of course our country as well.
Absolutely, that's what we need, and thank you for what you did, your service. You know, the chief there, thank you for your service. There's a lot of people that have made sacrifices, and it's incumbent upon us to continue that history, honor of sacrifice in this country. Memorial Day is a perfect day to remember that there are people that have done it and they've lost their lives. We're fortunate in that, but we're still here, and we must do something about it to honor them.
Speaking of events next week, we do have Memorial Day coming up on Monday, but on Thursday, the 30th at 6 o'clock at Union Public House in St. Phillips Plaza, you're going to be there for a meet and greet to meet all of our listeners. Sixto and I will be there to meet you. Tell us a little bit about that event and what's going to be happening on Thursday at Union Public House.
Yeah, thank you to Chris DeSimone that put this together. We hope to have a ton of people show up and get a chance to listen, hear my passion for this state and for this country and for God, family, freedom, and the Constitution, and get a chance to ask me questions. And really, this is an opportunity to come and meet and greet. And if you want to bring your checkbooks too, I'm not gonna turn those away. We certainly got to raise some money. And if you're interested in supporting, you can go to sheriffflam.com. But if you can make it down to the event, it's going to be a great night. We're going to get a chance to talk to people and just mill around and answer a lot of questions. And it's going to be a great night.
You know, the political system that we have in this country is kind of unique, and campaigns are funded by citizens who believe in the candidates and donate the money to those candidates so that they can run their campaign. And so this is a fundraiser to help you raise some of the funds that you're going to need in order to put up a formidable challenge and be hopefully the victor when it comes to the primary and then on to the general election. So that's Thursday, May 30th at 6 o'clock at Union Public House in St. Phillips Plaza. There'll be a little meet and greet with Sheriff Lamb, and then there'll be a little bit of music and libations afterwards to kind of enjoy under the stars what's going on. Well, we appreciate you running for U.S. Senate and bringing your platform of God, family, freedom, and gun rights to the community. You know, one area I just wanted—probably one of the most important things here in Tucson—is the border issue. What are you going to do to when you become a senator to try and focus even more attention on the security on the border, which is so important to Tucsonans?
You know, some of the big things that we've got to do, and this isn't rocket science. Number one is you've got to enforce the law. The law says people can't come in here illegally, and we have a government that's not doing that. And so we've got to enforce the law, take the handcuffs off of Border Patrol, empower, you know, local law enforcement to assist Border Patrol in what they're doing. That's one of the things we need to do. Let's finish building the wall. That is an important piece of it. Increase the technology there. We've got to stop funding these NGOs. While there are good NGOs out there, many of these NGOs involved down there, they're being financially incentivized, and they're aiding and abetting in the trafficking of humans. And we've got to reinstate day one the Remain in Mexico program, or the Remain in whatever country you're at program, instead of letting people come in here and wait for their day in court with a judge until 2030 or 2032, which is what they're doing right now. Those are unacceptable practices that we've got to fix, and we need to do those day one. And we got to start working on supporting. Hopefully we get a different president in there, because the president's in there right now. They have completely failed the American people on this issue.
Well, we really appreciate your perspective and your you and your family, your wife Janelle, and your five kids and your grandkids and the extended family there, we know what running for office is. I can only imagine what running for a Senate seat is. Amazing, and the amount of effort that you're putting into it, we really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you this coming Thursday at 6 o'clock at Union Public House at St. Phillips Plaza. Sheriff Lamb, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and hats off to all the people and families that have given their lives, and Memorial Day gives us a time to pause and think about those folks. So we thank you for your perspective on Memorial Day, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. God bless.
We'll see you Thursday. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. We'll be back after some words from some of our great sponsors. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson, the Friday business success stories. You know, the reason that we have successes in business in Tucson, the state, the country, and even around the world is because those people that have gone before us and protected our country and given their lives for the freedoms in our country. And so Memorial Day is coming up on Monday, and it was nice to have Sheriff Lamb talk to us a little bit about his perspective on Memorial Day. So, Sixto, we've had some discussions about this, and you wanted to bring up somebody pretty important this Memorial Day that you wanted to share some information on.
Yes, actually, I'll mention two people. First, I'll start with my father. He was a proud, World War II veteran, served in the war in the Pacific Theater under General MacArthur, and he was very proud to have been a soldier. He passed in 1998. The other one is Billy Lane Laufer. Billy Lane Laufer was a Sunnyside High School student. He dropped out of school, I believe, in his senior year during the Vietnam War and joined the Army. And he was deployed to Vietnam, and on the third day he was there, he was killed in action for his bravery. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he's the only, I believe, Southern Arizonan to receive the Congressional, or to be awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. So now move forward to 2005. I had a friend on the Sunnyside School Board, and Sunnyside was building schools at that time. They were building a middle school and an elementary school and were looking for names. And I suggested to my friend Robert Jaramillo, who's on the school board, hey, why don't you name one of the schools after Billy Lane Laufer? He said, are you willing to come to the school board to talk about that, to the school board meeting? I said, sure. And I did a presentation in, I believe it was May 2005, to the school board. And fortunately, the school board decided to name a middle school Billy Lane Laufer Middle School, which is located near Craycroft and Interstate 10, behind the Triple T truck stop. There's some coincidences there in that Billy Lane's father, Howard, worked at the Tucson Police Department when I worked there. He was a property custodian, so he was a guy in charge of taking and receiving the evidence and then giving it back and those kind of things. The other coincidence is the principal, the very first principal, was a childhood friend of mine, Robert Miranda, and that just happened to be a coincidence that he was the principal at the school. And then the other coincidence is that the assistant principal, John Benavides, his relative was Roy Benavides, a Medal of Honor recipient from Texas. Wow. So that's a story on Billy Lane Laufer.
6 degrees of separation, as they say. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Well, again, Memorial Day is really important. You know, the first observation was in 1868, and then in 1971, it became an official United States Monday. The fourth Monday in May is designated as Memorial Day. And I found this statistic to be just really interesting, that since the Revolutionary War, there have been 646,596 American troops that have lost their lives in service to our country. And you think about a 250-year span, that's a lot of people that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And it's you know, when you, it is daunting when you step back, you know, on Memorial Day, I'll be going over to my folks are at East Lawn, and you go on under the. It's amazing how many American flags are out that for veterans that have given their lives for our country. It's amazing.
Well, I went to high school in the 60s, and that was during the height of the Vietnam War. And I remember a lot of my friends that after high school, joined the military, knowing darn well that they were going to go to Vietnam.
Right.
So in my mind, I didn't think of it back then, but now I think back, and these young soldiers knew that there was a possibility that they would not come back, that they would get killed. And out of the high school that I went to, Pueblo High School, 20 high school kids during my era in the 60s never made it back. They were killed. I think in Tucson, the figure is 108, right, that soldiers that were killed in Vietnam during the Vietnam War.
Yeah. And of course, we have a connection to the military with Davis-Monthan and Air Force Base, with the reserve here by the base as well, both all the branches, but we also have Fort Huachuca down in Sierra Vista. It's amazing the connection to military that our community has had over the years and how important it is. You know, there's a couple of events happening this weekend to commemorate Memorial Day. There's lots of them. I'll just highlight a couple of them. The Tucson Pops Orchestra is having their Memorial Day concert on Sunday at DeMeester Outdoor Performance Center. There'll be a little parade in Tucson Estates on Monday. And of course, Boots and Brews are happening for if you want to just relax by the pool and have some fun. Boots and Brews, one of our sponsors, is having an event up at Westward Look Resort. So Memorial Day is an important day in our community and in the country. And, you know, we still have lots of people that are calling. So I have the good fortune of being a teacher at the University of Arizona. And every Wednesday for the last, oh, goodness, it's probably been, well, 33 years, there's always one or two or three students who come to class and they're dressed in their military uniforms, because my class is at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they have just come from their Wednesday morning, and they've got their ROTC uniforms on, and they're you know, Wednesday is the day that they do their drills and so forth. And I always make it a point to thank those young men and women for their service to our country. And they're just getting started in their careers, but they know this possibility that they would go and have to give their life for the country. And it just amazes me that people are still willing to do that and willing to step forward and serve in our country like that. So we honor them, and we honor those people that have passed. And as importantly, we have to honor those families that have lost loved ones.
Absolutely.
You know, you think about those 20 guys that went to Pueblo High School with you. They're still family and friends, friends that have thought about them over the last, you graduated, 10 years ago is when you graduated from high school? You graduated in 2014, you graduated.
Yeah, right. About 1969.
Yeah, 1969. So, and just think about all the people that were affected by those 20 deaths just from Pueblo High School alone, and how over the years it's important to pause and remember them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And you had made the point with Sheriff Lamb that we also need to think about the people that are on the front lines of our own community, the men and women of the police forces here in Tucson and at the U of A and other places that are...
Yeah, unfortunately, in law enforcement, it seems that the number of line-of-duty deaths are increasing every year. They should be decreasing, but they're increasing, so yeah. It's getting... even more dangerous.
Well, hope that you spend the Memorial Day weekend in thinking about the freedoms of our country and thinking about all those folks that have gone before us in service to our country and those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. We appreciate them jumping in and not being afraid to work for our democracy. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We look forward to seeing you and hearing you again. Sixto, thanks for being here. We appreciate you as a co-host. You're awesome.
Always my pleasure, Ed. Thank you.
Great. We'll be back on Monday with a Wonder Edition from the University of Arizona, and then back again next Friday for Business Success Stories. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on The Voice.